y'all. It was more of a question of how much of you was here. Just so you get me again. We're talking about our purpose as a church. So if you've missed the last couple of weeks, you can go back and get online. Dave's got those recorded for you. You can look at them. But what we're trying to do is look at the reason why New Hope exists. Why does a church exist? Does it exist because some pastor needed offering, so he thought he'd think of a way to get people to show up, throw money at it? I don't think so, but anyway. So what you do is you come to the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God is always a good place to start. Did you know that?
Amen.
You're having a struggle in your life, go back to the Word of God.
Amen.
You want wisdom, go back to the Word of God. Why? Because God gives us instruction. So what we do is we start in Genesis, we go all the way through Revelation, and we want to reduce it all down. What does all this mean for us? What does God want from me as a believer? What does God want from you as a believer? Irreducible. I mean, no excuses. You may not know anything else about the Bible, but you need to know this kind of stuff. And so what we have is very simply, here, do it with me, love God, love others, serve your world. Love God, love others, serve your world. Now, where does that come from? Very simple. Matthew 22, it's not going to be up here, but we've gone through it too much with you guys already. He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And this is a great and first commandment. I mean, so Jesus says, start here. We are called to love God with everything that we are. If your life is out of balance, more than likely your love relationship with God is out of balance. Okay? When I'm doing counseling, when I'm working with other people on trying to get their lives together, I always say, well, talk to me about your relationship with God. What are your basics? How much time are you spending with Him? And they're going, what? So we got to go there and build. So love God. Secondly, love others. And then Jesus continues, says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the one before, love God, love others, these commandments depend all the law and prophets. So basically take a good deal of your Old Testament. All of them stand on these two verses. That's pretty significant. Now for us today, we're talking about service. Serve your world. Now, that comes from after the resurrection, basically after Easter, Jesus is coming back to his disciples, and he's trying to get them motivated, trying to get them now, here's your purpose, here's your direction. And he said to them, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom. So why did Jesus come? To serve. To give his life away. Now, in verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 21 now, he says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So the same mission that Jesus had, we as his servants, right? You're connected to Jesus, right? Wait, I'm looking for a little bit more affirmation than that. You're connected to Jesus, right? Okay. Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer, you're free, man. You got no problems with me at all. Now, you might have a problem with God you need to work on, but with me, no. But everybody else here, if you say, hey, Jesus is my Lord, this is not optional behavior. We serve. So I'm sending you. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, for we, that is the church, we are his workmanship. All right. Now, some of you think that you're junk. Some of you think you aren't all that good. Some of you are doubting yourself. Some of you are saying, well, I'm not good enough for God. You're going on this whiner kind of mentality. And you need to back up from that, because you're setting yourself up to have a problem with God. Because God said, well, wait a second, but I made you. And you can't say, well, God, I used to work for a fabricating place. We made 1 gallon buckets. The flower pot buckets, you go to Lowe's, go to Home Depot, you get those little, Imagine a 40-foot trailer filled with those things. I used to fill those trucks full. Yeah, anyway, go on. So, but every once in a while, you get a bad one. Machine broke, whatever, and you're sort of saying to yourself, well, that's true for everybody else, but I'm the bad one. And you're going, you got a theological problem there, by the way. God don't make no junk. That God did not make a mistake with you. Now, we might have not done well with what he gave us, but that's a discussion for another time. But you need to hear this. For we are his workmanship, created. Created in Christ Jesus to do what? What kind of works?
Good.
Not bad works. Now, if we're going to describe good works, and we're going to just sort of go through that as we go walk through this sermon today, is that they would be works that have the characteristic of God in them. All right? So God didn't call us just to sit in a church. We do this for encouragement. We do this for fellowship. We do this for worship. This gets us going for the week. But the rest of the week is, okay, God, how do I live out my devotion? How do I live out my service? How do I live out my love for you? That's really what he's talking about here. Now, get this part, though, that God prepared when?
In advance.
Yeah, beforehand. In other words, before you were born, God, the works that God wants you to do were already set. I'm just waiting for you to get going on this one. And when you're done with that one, I got this one going for you. And you get done with that one, I got another one. I don't know if you know this, but I'm retired. I have a fellow brother over here who just retired. Yay, Dave. Yeah. And so the thing is, did you know that you never retire out of God's service?
No.
Well, no, there is. I quit other things.
Sometimes we're
But just because I like to play doesn't mean that God doesn't still have this. So it doesn't matter where you are in your life's journey. Okay? First of all, the journey's not over. You're still breathing. God's got something for you to do. Now, and so what we're examining today is whether or not you've plugged in or are plugging into doing what it is God wants you to do. And ignorance is never an excuse, because the instruction manual is still there. All right, so created in Christ Jesus, that God prepared beforehand, that we should walk, and the word there, walk, is a description of live in them. This becomes our lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle of service. So let's look at the consequences of loving God and loving others, because what we learn theologically is that love, God's love, remember love comes from God. Anybody who is in God will love. If you're not loving, you don't belong to God. It's really that simple. So love turns each believer into a servant. Because if I'm loving God, I'm loving others, then that needs to be expressed in a physical kind of way. See, now, in America, we sort of think, because I feel it, I'm doing it. Okay? So, ladies, can we have a conversation here?
Yes, sir.
I got to start with you, because the guys would miss it. But so let's say you're in a relationship. Now, it could be a beloved relationship. It could be your kids. It could be, but it's a significant relationship. But just pick it. So, you're doing stuff for them all the time, right? You know why I started with you and not the guys? Okay, because for some odd reason, God chose you women to be the demonstrators to guys of what it ought to look like. Now, have you noticed the guys are slow learners? Okay, so imagine somebody saying, well, you know, I love you, hon, but I'm going to sit here in this chair and do nothing. Okay? Or, yeah, Mom, you know, I really appreciate it, but I'll see you later. Bye. And there's real no connection. There's no movement. Remember the hand motions you're moving towards, away, or at? And you see this person mostly moving away or shut off. Okay, so does that make you feel loved?
No.
Why not? They feel it. It's right here. Oh, but you're so important to you. See you later. And we can't figure out why the divorce rate in America is so high. And in the Bible Belt, it is at least as high as the national average if they're not leading it. Because we think, because we feel it, we're doing it. And God's going to say to you one day, and you're not going to like this conversation, what did you do with my son Jesus? Well, I had heart palpitations for him. No. It's the work. It's the work. Now, we got to work on this one. Now, theologically, let's get this established. We are not saved by serving, but we are saved for serving. That's a Rick Warren quote. In other words, because I serve, because I'm doing good works, because I'm doing this, that, and the other thing, that doesn't earn my way into heaven. But once I become God's, because I love God, because I love others, there's this movement towards this compulsion to now serve others, do for others. Why? Because that is what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, if you're not doing that, understandable, it just means you're not a part of the kingdom of God. Really simple. There are those who love God, love others, and are serving their world. And there are those that just sort of say, yeah, that sounds good. And I'll do it when I have time. And that doesn't work because we serve an almighty God. And what we find out biblically that the model is that to be a believer is to be a server and to touch and change other people's lives based upon the gifts that God has given you. John 12. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. Got a choice there. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there must his servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now you get the part that's not written there. So God will honor the work that we do, but what happens if we're not doing the work? In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is, I know what my problem is here. This is the same verse now, but in the message. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. So true. If you let it go reckless in your love, you have it forever real and eternal. If any one of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice, and the Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. I love the way that they handle that passage there. Now, so what that's sort of saying is that when I give my life to Jesus, it sort of changes the trajectory of my life. When I was 15, I was going this way, and God said, no, Jack, I want you to go this way. And God's been making course changes in my life all my life. But it's as he leads. See, what we're learning at the base level to be a believer is that I don't live my life for me anymore. Get a hold of that. I don't live my life for me anymore. I live it for Jesus. And I want that. And I covet that. Why? Because Jesus is everything to me. Now, if that don't float your boat, that's understandable. That either means that you're not spending much time with God, and that's something that you need to look at, or you don't belong to God. Because for those of us who are in Christ, Christ is everything. We have nothing apart from him. Are you with me on that? Because Jesus really is everything. And that's something that we grow into. The whole meaning of that is a lifelong growth effort. And you start here, and it doesn't matter whether or not you're in junior high or a kid. It doesn't matter whether or not you're in high school or college. It doesn't matter whether or not you're a young adult. It doesn't matter whether or not you're an older adult. And we won't go any farther in ages. It doesn't matter where you start. The point is, where are you growing in that relationship with Him? And that's going to be seen by your character and how you are serving. Now remember, serving does not earn you brownie points before God. One of the things that my wife and I often talk about is that if I do something really good, and which is seldom, but when I do it, I say, I want points! I want points for that! Why? Because I do other things that sort of take away my points. And I want that point bucket always full. Anyway, well, let's move on. Okay, so I want you to write down, you got notes, right? Either on the back of it or wherever you can, write two columns. And in fact, I would highly recommend you actually finish this exercise during your quiet time this week. Column number one, I want you to write down the stuff, and you can just title it this, the stuff you do for you. Buy Oreo cookies. That's what I do for me. It's whatever it is you do for you. Go play. Anyway. Then, column number two, I want you to write down the stuff you're doing for Jesus. Okay? And my wife keeps this record of all the work we do on our boat. She got me a journal for, we call it the captain's log, right? But it's not star dated. And so all the projects we've been doing, she's been writing down. Well, this is what you're doing. You're writing down your projects. What are you doing for God? But if you'll really just pray this one through, God, okay, what am I doing for me? What am I doing for you? And then look at how much time you're spending doing for you versus what you're doing for God. And that can be an eye-opener. Okay? That can be an eye-opener. Now, if I take that to God and say, okay, God, now what do you want me to do with this? What I'm looking for is for you to begin investigating. Hey, God, how can I love you better by the way that I serve? When my life is not consumed by thoughts of me, what happens is I become free to love God and love others. When I love God, I will love others. Why? Here it is. Love for others moves me to do something about someone's need. So we put up here on the sign that we're having the food giveaway this coming Saturday, and I'm going, okay, so that means that everybody here is going to participate. Yeah. You know, but yeah, Jack, that's not my ministry. And then there's this CR thing, whatever that is, right? Happening. At least they're eating. That ought to be worthy to go to. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different ministries within the church. The point is, at what point are you not only just participating by showing up, but you're a giver in it? I mean, just let me ask. You can't fire me, so I can ask it. How have you prepared for the food distribution? What have you given? What have you given food-wise? Now, let's say that you're somebody who's on a fixed income, you don't have a lot of money. Okay, they sell Top Ramen. What have you given? It ought to be a no-brainer. It's what we do as a body. Now, you go by how God's blessed you. If you don't have a lot of money, you're not going to give a whole lot, but you're going to give something, right? Do we still have the basket out there?
Yes.
The next double doors right there to your left on the other side of the guy's bathroom or just before the guy's bathroom, there's a white basket. Do you know that that white basket actually exists for you to put food in there? It does. And it's got to be dry goods. It can't be anything that can spoil. But then Mr. John here collects that all up and he adds it to stuff that's going out there. And then other people bring in baskets of food. Everybody has something they can give and they can do. Are you with me on that? Now, this is the mentality I want you to have. And with everything that's been going on with us the last month, I mean, we've got to get here. What this church is about is loving God, loving others, serving Christ. And we are the ones who do it. We are New Hope. We belong to the Father. This is it. And the thing is, there's always something that you can do. Look over here, this young couple over here. See Gracie and Paul, he's got his arm around her. He's actually doing a good job. I'm really surprised that Gracie's here. Did you know most of the time Gracie's not in worship? You'd almost think that she's not attending church. Shame on you. But she didn't even know. But do you know where she's at instead? Child care. Why? We don't have enough child care workers. When we don't have enough child care workers, that means she's always in there. There's a place for you to serve. You say, I don't like kids. Me neither. Had two of them. They tell me, yeah, Dad, we know. But there's a place to serve. There's CR, there's a place to serve. There's Wednesday night Bible study, there's a place to serve and minister. You're not maybe not teach the Bible study, but you can sure pray for somebody. You can sure love somebody. Okay, Sunday morning we have stuff. Weekdays we have stuff. Is that even printable anymore? Do we have that anymore? I think we may and eventually have that since I said something. Anyway, so what we want is to find a place where we are doing for Jesus, whether or not it's helping Sandy with the kids or with our students, however that works for you. Or let's say we have a ministry. Where's Fred?
Fred had to go home.
He's on meds. Okay. Tell him he did a great job. A little bit 60s thing going on there. Oh, sorry, what? Oh, okay. He does. We'll do a standing ovation for him. Anyway, but I like that. There is a place for you. And so let's say there's things that you're capable of doing, but we don't have that ministry. Tag, you're it. We do it based upon the gifts that people have. All right, I got to get going. See, what happens is as I express my identity as a follower of Christ, I do it through serving others. What happens there is I no longer chase after what I desire, but I become open to what God wants to do in my life. 1 John, do not love this world nor the things in the world that the world has to offer. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world only offers a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievement and possessions. These are not from the Father, but they're from the world. And so becoming a part of the body, living in Christ, saturating yourself in Christ, we recognize that the way that we used to live is not the way that God wants us to live now. It's got to change. That means my attitude, my heart, my thoughts, everything about me begins changing and becoming more and more like Christ. Where am I time wise? Okay. I move then from doing things not because I have to, but because I'm compelled to do it. John 13. Since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought. I love that word. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Fred. Everybody stand up. Yay! We were talking about you. You walked out, but we were talking about you. Just wanted you to catch. Anyway, go on. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master. But the word I want you to catch is the ought. Back up. One. No, that's it? Oh, right there. There it is. There, that word, ought. It's a fantastic, it's not ought to in the sense of shame or, yeah, and doing guilt. It's a word that talks about compulsion. Okay? If this, then you've got this. And this happens because of this. So this is my love for God, my love for others, and then from that, that becomes a springboard that has this movement with it. Because you have somebody called the Holy Spirit who indwells you. And he moves you to touch lives. He moves you to be different. If you're not living to serve, you're missing most of the Christian life. God has so much more for you to have. For here now the compulsion. 2 Corinthians, for Christ's love compels us that we who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. My wife and I went to go visit our daughter in the Middle East, and we went to Bahrain, just a tour around, and strange culture, being a Californian and stuff. But anyway, we wanted to go see the largest building in the world. And we thought that would be cool. You know, you go see the Empire State Building. You can stand back. You can look at it. You can go to the top. Well, this building is pretty big. In fact, huh? No, not the mosque. We went to, We went to Oman, yes. We also went to a mosque, but we also saw the biggest building. Are you with me now? Are you done? Thank you. Thanks, babe. So, well, no, I have to check in with her because sometimes I don't know what I think if she doesn't tell me. I know I ain't the only one, guy. And so anyway, so we wanted to go see it. We thought it would be a really good idea. So you enter into like a mall, okay? I mean, the only way to it, people-wise, is that you enter it, and all of a sudden it's like it's getting crowded and more crowded and more crowded, and all the people are going one direction. And what happens is you turn around and you recognize you cannot retreat. There is no retreat. You are surrounded by bodies. And they're getting compact and compact and compact and compact. Next thing you know, we're coming out of this mall and you see the building. But you don't have time to look because you're being moved like a sardine in the school of bodies. If something bad happened, I mean, it dangerous as all get at. And so we were more concerned about getting out because of the compulsion, if you will. You did not have a choice on where you were going. They had security guards today saying, you cannot stop. No, don't take pictures. Just keep going. And I'm going, this is compulsion. That's the bad side of it. The good side is when you are surrounded by the Holy Spirit and dwelt by the Holy Spirit, the movement in you, I mean, it's got you moving. You really shouldn't have a hard time thinking about what you ought to be doing for Jesus. Because if you're spending that time with him, if you're working for that, if you're asking, hey, God, show me the direction, show me a way, start somewhere. Okay? There's a lot of things in life that are not for you to do. Okay? So start somewhere. Doesn't matter. You say, Jack, where? Doesn't matter. Go do that. God doesn't want you to do it. He'll stop it. He'll then give you another road to do. Do that one. God doesn't want that one. He'll stop it. And then go over here. And eventually you're going to find the one, hey, this one works for me. This is a good place for me. So I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. This is a place where I can give my life away. And that's what we want for you. But sitting doesn't get you there. So when the Spirit of God then is working in me, I find myself doing things that I never, ever thought that I would do. And then I discover the power of giving my life away to others. For Paul writes, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is Paul summing up his whole life. Everything that's happened in the past, go read Philippians 3. Everything that's happened in the past, he says, I count that but rubbish. He has the word there is actually uglier than rubbish. It's stinky. But I gave it all up. Why? That I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which comes through faith. Faith in the Son of God. And this is where I want to be found. I want to be found when Jesus comes. I want to be found doing what it is he wants me to be doing. So what's Paul saying? He's saying that to live fulfilled, I have to focus on my purpose and not my problems. See, that what Satan does is he gives us poverty, he gives us sickness, he gives us problems, he gives us all this junk in the world, he gives us politics, yuck. And we get so wrapped up in it, it stops us from serving Jesus. Or we serve him part-time. No. Put that stuff aside and put the focus of Christ present. If you were asked to fill in this blank, go there. No, not that one. Go on, pass that. Yeah. Oh, I didn't write it in. That's why. Go on back. You did good. You did good. I just didn't write it in. If you were asked to fill in this blank, what would you use? For me to live is what? You got to fill that in. All right? No, don't spiritualize it. Don't say, well, I got to put in the good word so I think good of myself or something. If anybody's looking over my shoulder in my notes, they know that I did the spiritual thing. Don't do that. What is it? What defines your life? What adds to life for you? What brings purpose for you? Galatians 5, Paul writes, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now get a hold of this. In the Bible, there's constantly these dividing lines that are defined by behavior. Because the expectation is that once Christ comes in and lives in you, he creates a new you, so you start doing things that are absolutely crazy for Jesus. And so there's always a before and after kind of view. Now, the older you are, that ought to be more definite. In other words, older in Christ. The younger you are in Christ, you're getting there. But you're creating, hopefully, you are creating that new you in Christ because your life now stands for Christ. But, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That refers more to the Old Testament law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Whose flesh have you crucified? Somebody else's? No. I've allowed the Holy Spirit to put things to death in me that I might live more efficiently for Christ. I have things I call the old Jack. I don't want that guy showing up anymore. Okay? So, that's what we want. There's, and by the way, God has a list of other things he wants me to add to that. That's a work in progress. Will it ever end? No. Not till you stand before Jesus. not before you stand with Jesus. So let's ask that question then. Where, what is your place of service? Now, you could be at a place right now where you can't answer that. Okay. But now we need a commitment. Now we need a sense of, all right, what am I going to do about this? Now, if you don't know how to answer that question, then you need to talk to your staff. You need to talk to Marlon. You need to talk to Gary. Okay? I'll work with you if you want. Where we start saying, okay, what is it that you're good at? Where are you in your walk with Christ? Don't tell me that you want to do something, but it may be your first steps is getting your quiet time together. It may be just developing that personal relationship with Christ. Okay, but you need a mentor. You need somebody sort of say, making sure that that's happening. We're looking at starting a new round of the Brown Book. We have 7 books left. They're not printing them anymore. Okay, but Mr. Gary over there, he's saying he's going to be willing to work with anybody who wants to go through it. They're talking about Wednesday nights, but we need to start hearing from people. Hey, is this what I need? Is this the starting place for me? If so, let us know. Write us a note on the family sharing card. Write us a note. Make sure your name is on it so we know who wrote that. Don't tell me you're too busy. God can take care of that, by the way. I mean, if that job's getting in the way, God can take it away. Okay? If you got too far of a commute, God can break your car. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that God can solve that for you. You don't want God to do that. But I would like you to have a sense of curiosity. What is it you could do, even though you don't know? And what are you willing to learn from God so that you can know? Okay? So that you can know. Now, I know others of you that are doing just amazing things and nobody really knows what it is you're doing. You're just doing them. Have a happy. Keep it up. That's what it is to be a believer. Okay? And you're going to find that out by writing the things I do for me and the things I'm doing for God. Okay? That's where that list comes from. But I really want you to commit to this. Because I want us to be a body that gives ourselves away to God. Because we're not doing that. We're blowing it. And God has better for us. And I want to see that happen in your life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing, for what you've done. Just amazing. I mean, just change everything we're doing if that's what it needs to take. Sometimes we say, well, people are doing that and people are doing that, and so there's no place for me. Well, that's not true. We as a body just need to learn how to do it different. So step up, ask somebody a question. How could I might be able to do this? You may need training. I mean, everything just doesn't just happen. But I bet you there's somebody in your life that Jesus wants you to tell him about Jesus. I bet you there's somebody in your life that just needs a friend. I bet you there's somebody in your life who needs help with food or help with transportation or just plain help. They're there. Now you need a sense from the Spirit opening your eyes to see them and move towards them to touch their lives. You can do that. But surrender it to Christ. I mean, that in all we do, we're honoring him. In Jesus' name, amen.